Does this sound familiar?
Left here.
Thanks, Satnav.
Lulu, what would we do without Satnav?
In 100 metres, turn...
Hey, what? Turn where? Turn where? Oh, no.
What is it?
My phone's out of battery. We've got no Satnav.
Oh, dear.
This is bad. I don't know the way to Jack's school.
Why not?
Well, I've only been there twice and I just put on Satnav and zone out. Oh, man. I don't know how we're going to find Jack.
Oh, dear.
That's from the cartoon Bluey, pointing out a problem that many of us have probably faced. Do you rely on your phone for directions anywhere you're going? Then when you don't have the phone, you're completely lost. Today, we're discussing exactly that and the wider impact possibly of phones on our memory with health psychologist and neuroscientist Dr. Sabrina Brennan, who joins me now. Good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm very well. But I think, along with many people, I rely on my phone for directions. If I'm watching something, I'll say, oh, who is that guy? But I can't remember it. My powers of recall have declined because I'm relying on the phone.
I've shouted at my sat-nav when she tells me too late to take a turn.
But is it fair to say that people can't find their way around now, many people, without
you
the
know
phone?
What? Seriously speaking, though, there's not a lot of research on this. But what research there is does indicate that we use, you know, similar brain processing actually occurs whether we use, you know, a map on your phone or make a spatial map in your brain. But with the phone, there's less flexibility and less learning occurs. You know, we don't learn as much about our environment. And, you know, when you make a spatial map in your brain and you make a mistake, you can kind of figure out where you might go. You know, you might figure out an alternate route. But we've all been there sort of with that sat-nav thing when it goes wrong and you're kind of driving along and you kind of go, come on, hurry up, recalibrate, tell me where to go. But there is, interestingly, some research that shows a link between autopilot, autopilot, there's a certain mode in a network in our brain called the default mode network, which activates when we're not actively engaged in a task. And it's a good network. It's not a bad network, but it's an over-reliance on it has been linked to amyloid development in later life. And amyloid development is associated with Alzheimer's disease. And, you know, one of the early signs of Alzheimer's disease is a loss of spatial orientation, you know, so people getting lost in places they should be familiar with. Mm-hmm. So there's been a tentative link between, you know, that over-reliance on the autopilot, you know, or over-reliance on GPS, you know what I mean?
But on the other side of this, Sabina, if I'm using my phone for directions or if I'm using it for a recipe that I should really be able to remember, is my brain not freed up then to do other things? I'm hardly being completely, disengaged at that point.
Oh, yeah. So that's particularly just on maps there. You know, I mean, say when you're cooking, as you said, people used to keep recipes in their head and now we kind of Google them. And I think it's a bit of both. And I think balance is key. I think try to resist looking up things that you might already know. You know, engage your brain power, say if it's a recipe for pancakes or something that you just should know. But I also think, you know, there's no harm in looking up recipes because when you look up a recipe, another one might pop up and you might be tempted to try a new one. And you know, novelty and learning and trying new things, even just trying new foods, they're all brilliant for your brain health because they promote neuroplasticity and boost resilience in your brain. So, you know, it's as with a lot of things, it's a bit of balance. So, you know, push your brain power to remember stuff that you should know, but also there's absolutely no problem in kind of looking up recipes because, you know, you might find something interesting and try something interesting.
And with phone numbers, I mean, we used to know phone numbers off by heart. We don't anymore because we don't need to. Is that something that we should try at least to retain?
You know what? That's kind of a cohort thing, really. There used to be a huge difference between young and old people in that ability, but I think that's changing as we all get older. You know, older generations use cohorts. You know, they use mobile phones now as well. I don't know the benefit of that necessarily, you know, remembering numbers. We all used to remember our bank account details and everybody's, you know, phone numbers, you know, all those kind of numbers. you know, I mean, I think it's, the thing is really mental processes like remembering, thinking, problem solving, paying attention, they're all high energy activities. And, you know, your brain, in an effort to make the best use of available energy, will avoid expending, energy unnecessarily. So we, as humans, we'll avoid expending effort when solving problems, and smartphones represent an excellent opportunity to save energy by outsourcing tasks like that to an external device. So Google Maps, looking up recipes, looking up facts, or being able to store phone numbers in a phone, or looking up solutions on how-to videos online, you know, they not only allow us to get us to our destination or help us bake a cake or change a plug or even win an argument, there's nothing wrong with that, but they also free up resources that we could use to do something else. And I think that is the key, really, in a way,
okay,
is whether you use those freed resources to do something else,
yeah, or keep challenging, keep challenging your brain. Sabina,
yes.
Thank you very much for joining us. Sabina Brennan, health psychologist and neuroscientist.